And today I want to talk about something that is really difficult for me to talk about, mostly because of how I was raised. And I want to talk about more obedience. More obedience. Obedience is a really interesting word. And some of you, if you're raised in the church, you're like, oh, I love this idea of obedience. And then if you're like me and you grew up in the church, you're like, obedience, like there's this, like all these negative connotations that are added to it. Or maybe you have think that we're, you think of the word obedience and you think absolute delight. Like, I don't know where you are, but I know that when I think about that term, it like kind of, it's a little bit odd for me, okay? But I sense God's spirit in the middle of this, and I was preparing, I sense God's pleasure in us saying, how do we think of this idea of God's, like God being obedient in Christ and coming down to this earth and laying all that he has down for us? And that was an obedient act on Christ, for Christ to do that. And so like when heaven kisses earth, obedience came with Christ. And I want to talk about what does that look like in our lives today. So before your 16th birthday, Mike approached his dad and said, Dad, I'm going to turn 16 soon, and I'm going to have my license in my hand, and I was wondering if I can use the family car. Mike's dad said, Son, you know, you're lagging behind your sister. I really need you to really step up and get some... You need to be more responsible, son. You just really have to step up as far as your life and where you're going and what's happening. So I was thinking about this. I had an idea that you were going to want to talk to me about this. I was thinking if you get these three things lined up in your life, you can have the keys to our family car whenever you need it. And so he looks at his dad and says, well, what is it, Dad? What do I need to be responsible for? And his dad says, well, you know, you have to pick up your grades. Your grades are slumping, so pick up your grades. Two, I really want you to connect with God, and so I want you to read your Bible every day. And three, you really need to get a haircut. So Mike said, Dad, I'm going to work on this stuff. Let's get going. And Mike loved his hair, and he loved doing this and it swishing back. So he loved his hair, but he was thinking, for sure I can do these other two things, no problem. So he worked on his grades. He brought his report card back to his dad and said, Dad, look at all A's and B's. Can I use the car? And Mike's dad said, Son, well, that's one third of the way there. Good job. How are you doing with your Bible reading? He's like, Dad, I've been reading my Bible every day. I've been reading the Gospels. I went all the way through all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's amazing. I love to read about the life of Jesus. This has been so good and healthy for me. Thank you. And his dad says, you get two thirds the way there. And then he looks at his son. Dad looks at his son and he says, when are you going to get your hair cut? And Mike says, well, since I've been reading the Bible so much, I learned that Jesus was a Nazarite and he didn't cut his hair. So, you know, I don't see why I should have to cut my hair to drive the car, because Jesus had long hair, didn't he? And his father looked at Mike, his son, and said, that's right, son. And Jesus walked everywhere he went. Isn't that awesome? You guys, obedience is not my favorite word. It's a hard word for me, perhaps because of my own inner struggle, maybe with authority, or maybe it was because it was framed in my family a certain way growing up. Actually, when I hear the word, like this idea of obedience, I'm transported back to my childhood, where there were rules upon rules, mostly designed for my safety and the safety of my siblings, like don't play football in the living room. That was a rule in my house. Now, we had at least 100 plus rules, but that was one of them. Another one was don't play baseball in the living room. Another one was don't play soccer in the living room. But when the weather was bad, we made a makeshift field right in our tiny living room, and we would play sports. Now, that was a really good rule. The problem was that we didn't follow that rule. Playing football led to broken figurines, my dad had this deer figurine thing that the head broke off, we glued it back on. I don't think they ever found out about that one. We had bloody noses. I went to the hospital once to get stitches because I dove to catch a ball and I hit the living room wood furniture thing and I had stitches. My mom, if you've ever watched A Christmas Story, do you remember the mom that's always saying, "You'll shoot your eye out"? Okay, my mom was kind of like that, constantly shouting warnings. Even to this day, my own kids view my mom, I love my mom, she's awesome. But my own kids, so my mom's grandchildren, call my mom Safety Grandma. Okay, that's Safety Grandma because Grandma has all these safety rules, right? So my siblings and I often struggled with obedience. And it didn't stop with football in the living room. As we grew older, it was all kinds of different issues. Don't stay up past curfew. Don't have a bad attitude. Don't swear and don't drink and don't smoke and don't and don't and don't. And that kind of the list goes on and on. Like you said, lots and lots. So as I grew up, I came to believe that obedience was a way for me to avoid punishment. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Obedience meant avoiding punishment. And if I could practice just enough obedience to not get in trouble, that's what I wanted to do. And so it was just enough obedience to not get busted and get privileges taken away. So what about you? What does that word stir up in your head and heart? Sometimes it's difficult to relate obedience into our relationship with Jesus. And many times at church, we've heard "thou shall not" more than we've heard about the grace of Christ, creating the belief that faith is mostly about strict obedience or adherence to a set of rules and regulations. So my friend Nathan, during college, we became friends because he lived on my floor. And he struggled with faith because of the rules and regulations that his church placed upon him, as well as even his parents. It's framed differently when you realize that God wants an interactive connection relationship, conversational relationship with us. But when it's all framed about rules and regulations, it's really hard. It becomes really difficult. And so Nathan, wanted to run as far as he could away. And when we turn Christianity into that set of rules and regulations, we make obedience more about avoiding trouble than about living fully in faith and becoming alive in Christ and learning a life of thriving. We believe at this church that you were meant to thrive in God. Like you're like the very best you is found in Christ. That's awesome. That's good. Taking notes. That's good. I like it. Okay. So we believe that living a life of faith we become a follower of Jesus. We turn a life-giving conversational relationship with God. When we do that, we turn that into rules and regulations. That's when we get into a lot of trouble. So obedience does need to be redefined. I want to redefine it for you today when it comes to faith in Jesus. I want to redefine this word obedience. And here is what I think obedience is really about. It's not about punishment. Obedience is about saying a big yes to God. What if you and I heard the word obedience and we're like, yeah, that's about saying yes to Jesus. That's about saying yes to a deeper, more profound connection with God. What if this was our definition of obedience? Now, there's a beautiful example in the Christmas story of somebody who said yes to God, and her name was Mary. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up on the overhead. So let's go there. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Let's see what happens next. Verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So Mary has this messenger from God who has brought Mary news that she's going to be a pregnant, unwed teenager. For Mary, this angel's news was hard news. It was scary news. It was difficult to receive this news. Have you ever received maybe something recently that's been difficult to grasp, that's caused fear and confusion? Maybe a medical diagnosis, a pink slip, divorce papers, a note from a teacher, a call that a loved one has died. It was in that state of fear and confusion that in this story we find Mary. Her heart's confused. And sometimes we want to rush ahead in Scripture and get to the good part of Mary's story, failing to observe that obedience is not learned when our lives are comfortable and easy. Obedience is forged when in the middle of difficulty and the messes of life. That's when obedience is forged in our lives. In the middle of Mary's mess, she realizes God is asking her a question. "Mary, will you be obedient? Mary, will you say yes?" That moment for Mary was not about avoiding punishment. Rather, it provided the opportunity for Mary to say a big yes to God. Could God see beyond Mary's situation? Could God see all the possibilities for Mary's life? Could God see a miracle waiting to happen in Mary's life? Absolutely. But all Mary could see was right in front of her. Unwed. So she, in the scripture talks about her being engaged. So historically we know that that's like a betrothal period of a year. It's, you actually need a divorce to break it off, but there was no union between the man and woman during this betrothal period. It's a year waiting. And Mary's found to be pregnant. And we know that Joseph has in mind to divorce her quietly because, well, he doesn't believe her story. She's a young woman who is unwed. She's poor. She's uneducated. She's unimportant. She's insignificant. Mary would soon be rejected by her family and community. Mary did not face an easy yes here. Because we always skip ahead. We kind of know the end. But in this story here, Mary's panicked. She doesn't know. She says yes, but she's panicked. Do you know what this means for me? This means my reputation in society will be shot. Mary didn't face an easy yes. Yet when asked this life-changing question, her heart simply says, yes. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Like Mary, some of us today find ourselves struggling. Like Mary, some of our lives are a little scandalous right now. Like Mary, we might be scared out of our minds and not knowing what to do next. Guys, the first step is to ask yourself this question right here, right now. What would it mean for me to say yes to God? What is your big yes? What is that? Throughout each Christmas season, there's so many things competing for your yes, isn't there? There's like all this stuff. All of society wants you to just say yes to everything else. And the question today that I think the Spirit of God is asking us and asking us as an individual is, what is that thing that God is saying yes in your life to? Right here, right now, what would it mean for you to say yes? Maybe you need to say yes to your marriage, or yes to your spouse, or yes to your children, or yes to growing spiritually, or maybe you need to say yes to getting a grip on your finances, or maybe you need to say yes to your daily devotion time with God, or maybe you need to say yes to a new attitude at the office. Regardless of what you're facing, obedience is more than simply wishing circumstances could change. Obedience is not half-hearted. And here's how we normally respond. God, yeah, I want to say yes. And it's like this half-hearted, well, God, maybe you can help me out here. Have you ever been there? Maybe, God, maybe it'll work. Obedience means believing that God can do a miracle in our lives and then aligning ourselves with what God wants, not what we want. Because there's something, like sometimes we just have to say yes and say, God, I know that you have my best intentions at heart. I say yes to that. I say yes to you and I lay myself down. Obedience is not someday when God asks me to do something big, I'll consider it. It means out of control, doesn't feel right, maybe it might, how can this be? Yes! That's what it is. So how do we learn to say yes? It's one thing to say, yeah, I want to say yes, my heart wants to say yes. So how do we learn? Here's the first step. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear, here's Paul speaking to church in Philippi. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. As people of faith, we need regular reminders of what has happened in the past. When Mary is being taxed and continually oppressed by the Romans, and her people were oppressed by the Romans, Mary remembered the promises of God. Each Christmas, Jesus' followers remember our story, God's deliverance, God's rescue by sending his son to this earth. We get to remember that each Advent season. So the first step on that pathway to yes is simply to stop and remember. This gets me, I want you to know, this gets me through crazy situations. Sometimes I just need to say stop and remind myself of what God has done in the past. Because the present day, it's like it's all foggy and I can't get through. And if I just would literally just stop and remember God's faithfulness, man, it changes everything. It'll change my perspective. The fog doesn't seem so thick. So the second step is to trust. Here's Philippians, let's continue the text, this is verse 13. For it is God who works in you and will act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's God who works in you. You have to trust that God is working on your behalf for our good. Now, saying that we trust is one thing, and living it out is something completely different, isn't it? Like embodying, actually living out trust is a very different matter. Sometimes we dabble in trusting God. Have you ever been there? I used to do this quite a bit. I dabbled in trusting God. And it normally, it's kind of like dating casually. Okay, it's kind of like this. Hey, God, let me see how this goes. You know, I like you, you like me. Let's be friends and we'll just see what happens. That's what it's like. We trust God as long as everything is smooth and good and simple and everything's going right in our lives. And the minute things get rocky, we bail. Have you ever been there? This is not a casual dating relationship. A yes to God is so much deeper than that. So much deeper. If there's a relational picture of saying yes, it's like a marriage. When two people are united in marriage, you know what they say? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. When things are hard, when the kids are sick, when life gets routine, and you wake up and you look at your spouse, and you're like, who are you? The promise is tested. It's messy. So is our relationship with God. At the beginning of our relationship with God, everything is truffles and rainbows and parades. It's so easy and nice. But when life gets difficult, trust begins to wane a little bit. In the middle of that mess, we must say yes to God. Not just once, but again and again and again. This is what Paul's referring to when he says, when he calls the church in Philippi to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. You got to say yes over and over and over again. Trust seems easy when everything's smooth in our lives, people. But when we, like Mary, when we are standing face to face with a message we don't want to hear, trusting God is anything but easy for us, isn't it? It's just not simple. There has to be something deep inside of us that's saying yes and yes and yes. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell sentenced a man to death for his crimes by being shot. And the execution was to take place at the ringing of the curfew bell that evening. However, the bell did not sound. So everybody's waiting to shoot this would-be criminal, waiting, and it's getting more dark outside, and everybody's wondering what's going on. Well, it just so happened that the man's fiance had climbed into the bell tower. And you know, on a bell, there's a clapper that hits the bell. Well, she just held onto the clapper the whole time. And she wouldn't let it ring. And the guy below eventually gave up. And they sent some people up into the bell tower, and they got her down. Now, she knew that her fiance was innocent. And so she had prayed. She's like, God, she said, God, I trust you. I don't know how this can work, but I trust you. What do I do in this situation? And she had this little impression from the Holy Spirit where she was to stop the bell. She's like, I'm just going to stop the bell. And so she climbed the tower and she stopped the bell. She was obedient. When she was summoned by Cromwell to account for her actions, she was there. She walked in trembling and weeping with bloody hands and arms from holding on to that bell. And Cromwell's heart was touched. And he said this, your love shall live because of your sacrifice and obedience to God. Curfew shall not ring tonight. Isn't that awesome? Obedience means saying yes and then stepping into the future that God has for us and the people around us. A yes to God may mean deepening your relationships, maintaining gratitude in the midst of pain, even chronic pain, living out a new way to navigate your workplace, or serving the needs of families or friends, or simply trusting God for your future. Trusting God for our future is one of the most difficult things you will face as a Christian. At least it is for me. But if I stop and I remember what God has done in the past, and then I say, God, I trust you for my future, it gives me hope that there's a space that God has something really good in store for me, even though we might be in the middle of the fog today. Mary stood face to face with the messenger from God. She did not try to avoid her trouble or pain. All she saw was right in front of her, confusion, fear, pregnancy, and a fiance that might not understand. But guess what she also saw? Joy, anticipation, and wondrous possibilities. And Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said come true. She said a great big yes. Mary said yes. She truly was an obedient servant. And this Christmas, will we choose to be obedient servants? Saying yes to God, whatever that might look like. Practical tips. Number one. Right here, right now, what would it mean for you to say yes to God? Reflect on, what is my big yes? What is that for you? And I love this quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, one act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. That's true. Just one simple act where you say, God, I choose your way in this situation is better than all this knowledge that we gain from 100 sermons, even my sermons. You should laugh at that. Okay. Number two. Now say yes. Have the courage to jump into what God is asking. It might be risky for you, but you might change the world. Jump in. Say yes. Sometimes it's those little choices that add up to a grand big picture. When we're people that are willing to say yes and yes and yes, and when we're facing trial and temptation and it's foggy and we don't see a way forward and we say yes anyway, man, God loves that faith. God loves that trust. And all of a sudden you break through and you see the world change. Number three, take action. Is it offering an apology? Is it investing more time in your family? Is it giving of your time and energy in a certain way? Trust that God will be faithful as you take the first step. Then trust that God is working on your behalf. You can cross-reference that to Philippians 2:13. And then in the middle of your decision, when everything gets messy and it gets difficult and it's still foggy, you say yes and yes and yes again. So we're going to sing a last song. And you may have noticed that we've switched things up over the last month here. We took one song off the upfront worship set. And what we did is we put two full songs at the back end of our service. And the reason why we did that is because we want you to be able to respond. It's one of the greatest things that how we can honor God's Spirit at work within us is when we start to say yes. And we acknowledge that God's asking us through His grace and mercy to step into to His plan. And there's something that God loves when His people just simply, it's that simple yes. And so the reason why we switch things around is we just wanted more space at the end for us to respond to God's Spirit. So the end is not just a truncated song anymore. We're going to do a full song. Then we'll have our dismissal. Then Mariah or whoever else is leading that day will have another full song where there's just space to digest what God might be saying to you. Okay, that's super important. And as God's people, I mean, that's working this out in our life, working our salvation out and saying, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? How am I responding to your Spirit this day? So let's all stand. And the question that I want you to reflect upon is, what is your big yes to God? What is that? What is God trying to get a grip on your heart and life in a new way? What is your yes this morning? It's better than 100 sermons. Your heart that says, yes, I want to go with the Holy Spirit. I want to move with the Spirit. I'm stepping out and I'm going to say yes today and I'm going to say yes tomorrow. So that's what I want you to reflect on. Why don't we have our prayer ministry team come on up? And during this song, we'd love to pray for you this morning. If you need some prayer, we'd love to pray for you. I think there's some people here that obedience was framed in such a way that it was so damaging that almost like my story where you hear obedience and you like kind of cringe a little. I think the Holy Spirit wants to reframe that for you this morning. So you can hear the word obedience and you just think yes to God. I want to say yes to God. Also, I think that some of you are here and because it was rules and regulations growing up, this idea of thriving in God was missed. And God wants to open up a whole new chapter in your life where you're able to thrive. Where your heart can thrive. Where your soul can thrive. Where you become alive in your spirit. Where you quicken and waken up. You wake up. God wants to do that this morning in you. Where you are saying, I'm here. It's about developing this conversational relationship with God. That's how I thrive. And I think also there might be somebody here that just needs to say yes to God. And you've said yes, but it's been that hesitant, almost like casual dating yes. And this morning, God wants you to say yes with that continued deep thing inside of you that's going to say yes today and yes tomorrow and yes the next day and yes and yes and yes. And that's it. Like the decision's made. So if you need that tenacity and you felt like your yes is wavering, they would love to pray for you for that. And then if you're here and you just need just somebody to back you up in prayer, maybe you're hurting and maybe you're angry today, or maybe you just need God's Spirit to come and lighten your burden, your load, we'd love to pray for you. So our prayer partners are front. Let's sing together. And during this song, if you don't need prayer, I want you to think about this one question. What is that great big yes that God is asking me today?